Thanks, Brody. Morning, how are you? That's good. Two of you, that's good. Good to see you. Yep. What do you call a French guy that's, who's been mauled by a lion? Claude. So, anyway. Raina loves that one. We're in Saturate. We're heading into week three. And so I hope that you've been journeying with that. You've been learning. You've been sitting with different people in our congregation as we've had different videos from different people this year about Saturate. So it's not too late. If you haven't touched base with any of the videos, I still encourage you. You can find us on the Grace Points YouTube channel. And this year, during our 21 days, we got 21 people from Grace Point to do little videos every day to talk about in Christ. And they've been exceptional. And there's some awesome ones still to come this week. So I hope that you take some time. Just only go for 4 or 5 minutes just to listen to them, just to think about them, think about a different way of expressing in Christ and what the rest of our church family are thinking about that. If you're new or thinking you don't know about Saturate, it's something we do every year, 21 days, where we just set aside some time at the beginning of the year to say, Father, what might you be saying to me and what might you be saying to us as a church? Our world is full of saturation of other things, and we want to just kind of declutter a little bit of that and say, Lord, we want to hear from you. And we want to press in. So we take some extra time to pray. We take some extra time to fast from something to kind of speed up that process or accelerate that idea of hearing from God and what he wants to say to us in that sense. So that's the idea of Saturate. So next Sunday, we're going to have Saturate Testimony Sunday. So if the Lord's been speaking to you about some things, then we want to kind of hear that and want to give you opportunity to share some of that next week. So maybe if he has been speaking to you, try and think about what are the key things and try and condense that down just to a couple of minutes that you can just get up and share that with some clarity next week about that. So we want to create some space for that next Sunday to think about that as well. A key verse for this Saturate has been Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 1. And this morning I just want to take a different version of that from the Passion Translation. A few people in our videos have picked this version up and talked about it, and I want to just highlight that this morning and just talk about a few things about that. So I'm going to read it. It should be on the screen, but hopefully maybe you've also maybe you don't have a Bible, the Passion Translation here, so maybe just read it on the screen. But it says, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm has already been lavished on us as a love gift from our wonderful Heavenly Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus, all because he sees us wrapped into Christ. And this is why we celebrate him with all our hearts. So I just encourage you to take a moment just to close your eyes. And rather than me pray this morning and asking the Father just to speak to us, I would just encourage you to close your eyes and say, just tell the Father what you would love to leave here this morning with a sense of. Would you like your heart to be open, your eyes to see? Something shored up for you. What's the Spirit saying to you this morning? Just ask the Father for that now. Because we've just read that the Father wants to give us every spiritual blessing or every as a love gift to us. So ask him for that love gift this morning. He knows you. You can ask openly and honestly. The first thing I just want to highlight this morning is this. Jesus sees you and me wrapped into Christ. Let's read the verse again. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm has already been lavished upon us as a love gift from our heavenly Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus, all because he sees us wrapped into Christ. The Father sees you wrapped into Christ. The Father sees you wrapped into Christ. And the Father sees you wrapped into Christ. We sometimes say three different lines. I am who Jesus says I am. I have what Jesus says I have. And I can do what Jesus says I can do. And this is the part that I am who Jesus says I am. I am wrapped into Christ. Now, my question for each of us this morning, if that's how the Father sees me, how do I see me? How do you see you? Do you see yourself wrapped into Christ? Because that's the spiritual reality that the Father sees us in. Is it the same spiritual reality that we live within? And it's kind of like we need to get that picture, we need to get that image, and we need to get it in our spiritual retina and then let it burn there and keep coming back to that. Hang on a minute. This is how the Father sees me. This is where I am. I'm wrapped in Christ. I'm not wrapped up in something else. I'm wrapped up in Christ. Since my father passed away last year in September, I have taken a picture that we had at his funeral of him sitting in a fishing boat fishing. Dad loved to fish. It was one of the joys of his life, and I've stuck it right in front of my desk there. And I just look at it every now and again, not to be sad, but to be joyful and to remember my dad as he was in one of the passions of his life. And in that sense, it's kind of like we need to have this image of Jesus or being wrapped up into Christ in front of us that we can keep coming back to and know what that looks like. That when we find ourselves craving comfort of other things or lonely or distraught or anxious or tired or weary or whatever it may be, we can come back to this image and have a look at the image again and bring ourselves and our spirit and our soul and our body and our mind back into alignment with, this is how the Father sees me. I am wrapped up into Christ. I want this morning just to kind of be a little bit more hands-on, so I'm going to ask our service support team again to be active. And I have a couple little presents that a couple of you might get this morning, but I also want to give you a chocolate this morning. So just distribute them as, if you'd like a chocolate this morning, our service support team are just going to come and offer them to you. And there's a couple little pink presents in there. Feel free to give those to two people who the Spirit prompts your eye to. But as we take a chocolate this morning, it's actually called a Hershey's Kiss. You don't have to take one, that's fine. Some people love them, some people hate them. But they're wrapped. They're wrapped, something that's wrapped up. And so as you unwrap it, I just encourage you to think about this morning or the goodness that's in there, the sweetness that's in there. Try to allow the Spirit to take you in an analogy to think about being wrapped, to being wrapped up. And a couple of you will get a present. I didn't have presents for everyone. I'm sorry. I'm not that rich. But as you take a present, if you imagine getting a present comes as something that's wrapped up. And we normally come to a present with joy and excitement about wanting to open it and tear it. Little kids just rip it apart. You're a little bit older, mature, you want to rip it apart, but you don't feel you can, so you just carefully peel it apart and and open it up. And inside is something that hopefully you love, something you've been waiting for, something that brings joy to your heart, something that brings excitement. It's a present inside. It's a gift. And so as we think about being wrapped up into Christ, there's lots of analogies we can think of. There's lots of food as well that's wrapped up in Christ. And the last analogy I want to share with you is I want to highlight my parenting skills. I brought my little baby born along this morning. She's been very good so far this morning. Sitting in the bag, I wouldn't recommend that, but she's been very good. So when my kids were little, what we used to use, sit up there for a little bit, don't roll, you'll fall. We One of the things that we used to do when our kids were little is we used to wrap them up. We used to take them, put it around their arms so that their arms couldn't flop all over the place and hit themselves in the head, wake themselves up. Very good. We'd wrap them up, and the reason we'd wrap them up so their hands were still able to move, but the rest of their body was wrapped tight. You think about a baby being in gestation or just being in the womb for 9 months, it's a tight fitting. And so when they come out, one of the things that they feel uncomfortable about is all this space and noise and other stuff. So then when you wrap a baby and wrap it tight and bring it close, it's comforting. It feels secure. It feels like it still has a place where it belongs. It feels good. It feels right. It feels safe. And we would just wrap our babies and we would just do the rock until they fell asleep and then just put them into bed like that. As they grow older, they didn't need to be wrapped as much, but they took the wrap with them as a symbol of comfort, as a symbol that they were able to self-soothe, as a symbol that they didn't need us, in a sense, to always keep coming in and comforting, and they could just settle themselves and understand how to do that. It's a powerful analogy when we think about being wrapped up into Christ. The idea of coming close to the Father, of being drawn in to His presence. There's lots of analogies in Scripture about that, about the idea that the Father says, I am your help, I am your refuge, I am your comfort, I am your security. That the Father says, you can sleep well when you are in me. He says to us, come, receive the kingdom as little children. I'm just going to let you have a nice little sleep there. Try not to cry because I'm preaching. So the second thing I want to share this morning then is that every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm has already been lavished upon us as a love gift from our wonderful Heavenly Father. The Father sees us as wrapped up in Him, but more than that, He says, but I'm giving you every spiritual blessing as a love gift. It's a love gift because He loves us and He wants to bestow His love upon us. And here's the second part is, I have what Jesus says I have, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm. That's what we have as a love gift. It's been given to us. Remember last week we looked at what it meant in the heavenly realm. We talked about it's not so much a geographical location. It's not for later. It's not about heaven. It's actually about here and now. This is the heart of the Father. Paul's writing that this is about something that the Father gives to us now. It's a love gift given to us by our wonderful Heavenly Father to access in the here and now. Listen to the words that Luke speaks in Luke chapter 11, verses 11 to 13. He says, let me ask you this. Do you know of any father who would give his son a snake on a plate when he asked for a serving of fish? Of course not. And do you know any father who would give his daughter a spider when she asked for an egg? I took a moment this morning just to be letting my imagination run wild. If I gave a spider on a plate to one of my daughters, what kind of reaction I would get. Of course not. And if imperfect parents know how to lovingly take care of their children and give them what they need, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit's fullness when His children ask for Him? His children ask Him. Here's this sense, just allow that to seep into a little bit, this sense that we talk about God is good, and He is, and He's good all the time. It's the nature of the Father to give us wonderful gifts because He loves us. We have to think, in this verse, we have to actually take some time to meditate on it because there's some things that can stuff us up with this verse. One is our own image of our Father. Sometimes our fathers on earth are not always that well endowed. Sometimes they do give us spiders or snakes when we ask for something. So we have to kind of step aside and actually go, you know, there is an image of a perfect Father, and that's our Heavenly Father, who actually does want to give us good gifts all the time. Because sometimes we can get caught up in thinking we only got gifts when we were good, or we only got told we got gifts when we were good or did the right thing. But the heart of the Father is we get good gifts even when we mess up or even when we don't do the right thing. And that's because He loves us. And that's because we're in Christ. And when we're in Christ, we're seen then by the Father as fully righteous and sealed with that righteousness. And that's the other thing that can stuff us up, is what gifts mean to us, or how we receive gifts. Sometimes you can give a gift to someone and they just show no emotion at all. Sometimes you give a gift to someone and it's over the top. And there's a story that goes deep behind that, and it comes from our heritage, or how we grew up and how we received gifts, or how gifts were given, or how we treat those things. And so again, we have to kind of step aside from that and ask the Father, how would you have me to receive this gift? And realize the Father is giving me a gift. I don't have to try and think in my head, how can I find an equal gift to repay to the Father? Because He gave me a gift, I have to give a gift. I actually can just receive a gift because the Father wants to give me a love gift. And so the Father comes as a wonderful Heavenly Father, and He gives just because He loves, just because we are wrapped up into Him. When my kids were little and this age, they got lots of gifts. They didn't know about them, they didn't understand about them, but they got them because we just love them. When they're really young, they really haven't done anything to deserve a gift. They haven't performed, they haven't gone to school, they haven't got any grades, they haven't won any sports races or anything. We just love on them because we love on them because they're my kids. And it's the same with the Father. He loves on us just because we're His. The Father actually demonstrated that to Jesus Himself when He began His earthly ministry at about age 30. You'll read it in all the Gospels. And Jesus came and He was baptized. And there were words from heaven. The heavens opened and the words came down. And the Father said to Jesus, "This is my Son. This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." At the start of Jesus' ministry, before He even did anything, Jesus says, "I just love you because of who you are. I'm already giving you a standing ovation right now before you go and do anything. I love you." And in a sense, that's what the Father is saying through Jesus to each of us. "I'm giving you a standing ovation before you do anything just because I love you. And I'm giving you every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm as a love gift because I love you and I see you wrapped up in Christ." So then the last thing I want to just share out of this passage this morning is we're wrapped into Christ for a purpose. And this is the part where it says, "I can do what Jesus says I can do." And I want to read to you from John chapter 15, verses 5 to 12. It says, "I am sprouting vine. I am the sprouting vine, and you're my branches. As you live in union with me as your source, fruitfulness will stream from within you. But when you live separated from me, you're powerless. If a person is separated from me, he's discarded. Such branches are gathered up and thrown into the fire to be burned. But if you live in life union with me, and if my words live powerfully within you, then you can ask whatever you desire and it will be done. When your lives bear abundant fruit, you demonstrate that you are my mature disciples who glorify my Father. I love each of you with the same love that the Father loves me. You must continually let my love nourish your hearts. If you keep my commands, you will live in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands, for I continually live nourished and empowered by His love. My purpose for telling you these things is that the joy I experience will fill your hearts with overflowing gladness. So this is my command, love each other deeply as I have loved you." here's this idea about remaining in Jesus or being in Jesus. As we grow, as we become mature disciples and follow Jesus Christ, it's then about being in Christ and remaining in Christ. And the result or purpose of that, Paul is pretty clear where John is pretty clear where he says, it's about being fruitful. If you remain in me, you'll produce fruit. There's a fruitfulness that comes from our life. He says, you remain in me, if my words remain in you, if my love remains in you, there's an evidence of that, and it's fruitfulness that comes. So, yes, we are wrapped up into Jesus. And yes, we are given the love gift from heaven in this every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm, but there's partly a reason why we're given that is to be fruitful. And that's the sign of a mature disciple. When we are separated from Jesus, it says that life union, we are powerless. We're powerless. Other words, we can't do anything apart from Jesus. And that's the difference between being, you know, self-reliant or this kind of stoicism idea. I can do it all myself. I don't need you. I'll just come to you when I need help. As opposed to remaining in Jesus. Again, I come back to my little baby here. Helpless and very reliant on Jesus. Very reliant on the parent to feed it, to look after it, to take care of it, to protect it. And Jesus is saying, that's what we need. We need to keep being reliant. We need to keep allowing our heart to be softened by the Father. And the Father is the grapevine and we're the branches. And whenever you grow a vine, it actually needs what's called a trellis, or it needs some kind of structure. And it's really, really important that we give some thought to that structure in our life as we're kind of trying to cultivate relationship and remaining in Jesus. Because the idea of the trellis is to remain. And that's the idea of staying, continuing to be centered or focused or present, or keep the main thing the main thing, or get the right center so you get the right circumference and stay connected. That's the idea of what the trellis is. It's not the focus. It's just the structure that helps us remain in that. And so we really need to protect that connection and make sure it doesn't get severed. We need to allow Jesus' words then to remain in us. If we're allowed to make Jesus' words to remain in us, we need to keep feeding ourselves with Jesus' words. In other words, we need to keep focusing and reading the Bible, because that's the nourishment to our spirit. That's one way we remain in Jesus, by keep reading his word. It's kind of like allowing Jesus' words to remain in us. It's like the discipleship 101. It's the starting place of being a disciple is first of all realizing we are wrapped up into Christ. And we're wrapped up into Christ, we follow Jesus. And then fruitfulness is evidence that we are wrapped up into Jesus. And so therefore a key also John talks about in staying wrapped into Christ is to remain in Jesus' love. And a key to remain in Jesus' love is to be obedient. If you read what he says there, you must continually let my love nourish your hearts. When Jesus' love doesn't continue to nourish our hearts go stale. I was disappointed this morning because I was on coffee, and I said last week I'm not having coffee during Saturate, so I thought I'll just make myself a chai latte. And we had a thing of chai latte that had just gone hard over the last few months. And so I threw that out, and there was another can there that was unopened. I thought, I could just have one of those. It'll be nice, fresh, new. And I go to it and I take off the lid and I peel back the seal and it's like rock. It's somehow it's all hardened as well. And I had to toss it out. And the reason it went hard was because it wasn't nourished over time. It just left to go hard and stale, and now it's no good. You see, we don't walk away from Jesus overnight. We walk away from Jesus over time when we allow our heart to not be nourished by his presence and his word and his spirit. That's why it's a daily thing to nourish ourselves. And the trellis is, what will I do to put into my life the priority of being nourished by the Father's heart? Where will I make the space for that? Because if I don't make space for that, someone else will fill that space. Something else will fill that space. Distraction, social media, TV, the cricket, whatever it is, something will fill that space. So how do I put the trellis in that creates structure to help me know this is the priority, to nourish myself with the Father's words, with His presence, and make space for that? And part of that then is, if you keep my commands, you'll live in my love. And that's a no-brainer in the sense, like, we don't sometimes like to talk about obedience these days, but the Father says it's a key part of discipleship is to be obedient. When you read Jesus' words, the things that He says to us, that He says, hey, do this and do that, not because He wants us to be robots or be in control, but because He says, that's how you nourish my heart, by doing the things I've told you to do. Sometimes we like to take those things and play with them and interpret them to our own way, and it doesn't work out so well for us because we've just taken what we want to do and tried to spiritualize it. So many things Jesus is just clear about. And so He says, when we're separated from Jesus, that's that life union, we're powerless. So let's think about Ephesians 1:3 for ourselves. What's the practical application that the Spirit is wanting us to walk away with today? Let me read the verse to you again. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm has been lavished upon, I'll say, you as a love gift from your wonderful heavenly Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus, all because He sees you wrapped into Christ. And this is why we celebrate Him with all our hearts. So we are who Jesus says we are. We have what Jesus says we have, and we can do what Jesus says we can do. Our wonderful Heavenly Father sees us wrapped into His Son Jesus. And again, I want to ask you, is this the picture that you have of how God sees you, wrapped in Jesus? Perhaps this morning we need to ask our wonderful Heavenly Father to upgrade our vision and sight to see ourselves in Christ. What's the Holy Spirit speaking to you about this morning? Just take a moment just to reflect on that. Just ask the Holy Spirit right now, what do you want to say to me about being wrapped into Christ? This morning I was out walking and just asking the Father what He wanted to do this morning. And one of the things I felt He's saying, that He just wanted to nurture our love. And part of that process, well, it's just got this image of pruning. And I was reminded of yesterday I trimmed a hedge of our that's out the front of our place. And my neighbour's hedge had become one of my neighbours. One neighbour's hedge is really good. And the other neighbour's hedge had become somewhat very overgrown. You couldn't walk kind of down the path without being hit in the head by their kind of branches of their hedge. And so I had decided a while ago that next time I do my hedge, I'm going to go and ask my neighbour if he'd like me to do his hedge as well. And so I went and knocked on the door and said, I'm just in the midst of doing a hedge. Would you like me to do our hedge? And it's kind of like I got this reaction, yeah, that'd be very nice. But like, and then, well, what are you going to do? It's like almost like he didn't realise that his hedge was overgrown. Like, wasn't like, you know, oh, that'd be great. I've been thinking about doing that for a while. Oh, yeah, it's overgrown. Oh, that'd be such a blessing. Thank you so much. It was like, well, I've got no idea what you're doing. And I never saw him again the rest of the day, but I did his hedge. And I was contemplating about that today, just thinking it's like if you don't prune the hedge, it doesn't grow. It doesn't build. A hedge needs to be pruned so that it grows substance inside and so that it grows solid. And you trim it back and then it grows some more. You trim it back and it grows some more. It comes thick and it comes solid. And that's how it grows strength in the hedge. And as I was thinking about this morning, I felt the Father say to me, I only prune because I love. You only prune your garden because you love your garden. If you don't love your flowers, you don't prune them because you don't care about them till they die. And then you wonder what's gone wrong. I felt the Father say to her, kind of a season about part of our nourishing, part of our remaining, part of being in Christ may mean that we have times or seasons where we're being pruned back. But the only purpose of being pruned back is to fulfill the growth. And the only reason we're being pruned is because the Father loves us. It wants to nurture us. Maybe in this season in Saturate, there's something about the cutting back or the pruning, or there's something that we need to take notice of or be aware of about what the Father may be wanting to say to us. But I just encourage this morning, whatever the Holy Spirit deposited to you, take that out here today. Plant the seed of that and say, Father, I want to step into that. I want to be wrapped into you. Whether it's about fruitfulness, whether it's about pruning, whether it's about remaining in his love, whether it's about obedience, take it and seed it. And invite our worship team up and just we might just finish worshiping together. I don't know the name. I think it was a new song, the one about love, come and adore, bow down and I'll sing a hallelujah to the light of the world.
Beautiful.
Yep. Yep. There's something about worship. We worship because not only do we love the Father, but it's an opportunity for us to express our love to the Father. And so as we finish today, I just invite you to share that as a love offering to the Father. And that's definitely something we want to do with this dwell. Brody explained it really nicely, but it is a worship night as well as prayer and spontaneous prayer, worship and prayer and worship and prayer, and there'll be painting and craft and creative. It's like a night where we just dwell in the presence of the Father. And that's something about worship. So I just encourage as we finish today, just have a conversation with the Father through worship. Tell him how much you love him, but at the same time, keep your ears open to how much he loves you. Let's worship together. Thanks. Mm.